Okay, recorder's on. This is World Affairs Monthly, and I have Mr. Ari Ben-Benash on the line. He worked at a senior level for Israeli military intelligence decades ago. And, of course, he's got a book out that was published in early 90s, Prophets of War, and it's really quite fascinating. I got a copy of it, Ari. I don't know that I need to introduce you. I think everybody knows who you are. But, look, I have the chance to talk to you. It's wonderful. I'm going to just ask you, what is going on in the world, Ari? And, you know...
That's a big question.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to shut up and I'll let you talk.
No.
I'm teasing, of course. I'm teasing.
Yeah, I know. We're hoping that a new administration in the States will bring some stability to the... in the Middle East, work to deal out with Iran, work, encourage the Israelis and the Palestinians to work out the deal.
Yes.
And that will always make the world more stable.
Yeah. No, it's a great idea. And as we said, I won't talk over you this time, but how effective... this is kind of a blunt question, but how effective is Mr. Biden going to be and his colleagues there? You know, Mr. Trump was probably not very good, in your opinion, right? I mean,
Mr. Trump did some good things. He put the Israelis, he made sure that the Israelis have a deal with some new Arab countries.
True. That was good, yes.
That was good, but he really did not pay attention to the Palestinians.
That's right.
Which is...
The core issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
The core issue right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that. And also, he tried to force the Sudanese to allow the Israelis to open an embassy there.
Yeah.
And they were not ready for that yet.
Okay.
And I'll leave.
So back to my question. Okay, that's true. You and I probably agree on most everything. I agree. Mr. Trump did do some very path-breaking, very bold measures, took some bold measures, and successful to some degree. But what about Mr. Biden? Do you think, you know, you have more hope that we're going to see a follow-up operation?
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
We can always hope.
Yeah. Well...
I hope he doesn't take the path the Obama administration took. I hope he'll be more active in the Middle East and get things done.
So you think he now... I see, you know, again, you when you're in this kind of work, and I'm sure you have the same experience, you know, you have to be diplomatic, do you not? I mean, you can't really tell people face-to-face what you think, or can you?
You should.
You should, yeah. Yeah, but...
You should.
Is that, no, really, a serious question.
A serious question, what I said is a serious answer.
Yeah.
If that resolves, you should tell people what you think.
Okay. Now that's great, and I do the same thing. But you got yourself in hot water, and I don't necessarily want to go back into your career and talk about your book. But you did get thrown into the clink for 1 year. It must have been a terrifying experience. And you know, they were basically the people that employed you were dumping you. And so now, was that because you were pissing off? I mean, how do you think? You know, if you start challenging everybody and telling people what to do...
Sometimes you have to. At the time, I got into trouble because I was the first Israeli to get on a plane to go to Tunis to visit Arafat.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Well... all right, so I agree with you. I would like to see some sort of acknowledgement, serious acknowledgement of the Palestinian what do you want to call it, plight, the Palestinian plight. And and I have not seen, you know, since Mr. Bill Clinton, we haven't seen anything like that. And now, is it because they're so weak and, you know, the Israelis think they can do whatever they want with the American backing?
I think it's because the Israelis think that they can do whatever they want.
But
whatever they want isn't good for them.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Now, okay, I just thought of something really good to ask you. Are you still kind of stateless? And maybe this is a terribly sensitive question, but what kind of relations do you have with your home country right now, that is Israel? I mean, are you sort of mending fences with them, or are they still kind of thinking this Ari guy's really an asshole?
I really don't know what they... Sometimes they talk to me, sometimes they don't.
I see.
Depending
okay.
on the subject.
Okay.
And
so you're not really sure where you stand with them?
Correct.
Okay. That's a shame. That's the same. Well, maybe these interviews will help. I hope. Yeah, because you know, I it was really interesting. I over the years I've had some contact with a colleague of yours. Well, he was in Mossad, Viktor Ostrovsky, and he kind of you do, I don't know, maybe you even know him, but he's living in, I think, in Arizona, and I would call him occasionally, and we would talk, and he agreed to talk to me on the record in a couple of months. I just talked to him about that last week. So I said to myself, hey, maybe I'm going to help these guys. You know, it's a joke. I'm not going to help you.
Okay.
But I mean, we should really talk about international affairs, because I was thinking, you're born in 1952, is that right? I was born in 1958. Oh, 51, okay. I was born in 58, so we're pretty much, you know, we're pretty close in age. When we were growing up, the world was really a different place. And you know, today, you know, in fact, I just read yesterday that the Iranian regime in Tehran has signed a pretty serious deal, you know, strategic alliance of some kind, or pretty secretive, with China. And you know, they're going to get a lot of help. And you know, Iran might even become pretty prosperous as a result. So the world is changing. Everybody's probably thinking, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe we ought to, instead of having this Cold War garbage, you know, where we kind of go let it out all the way and we fight each other, maybe there's going to be more hippie type behavior and people kind of making love. I don't know. I'm talking now, stupid. Yeah.
Okay. About Iran, I think. Remember, Iran was generally in alliance with the West for many years.
Yeah.
And actually, they were in alliance with Israel for over 60 years.
Yeah.
Including the first 10 years of the revolution. And there's no reason why. Well, the Israelis had a reason to turn on Iran because they felt that the Saudis have more money to give them.
Okay. I see.
And now they're allies with the Arabs against the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think that some sort of coexistence should happen between the Iranians, the Arabs, and the Israelis.
I agree.
And with Americans. The Iranians are over 100 million people,
mm-hmm.
and it's an important country.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Don't throw it in the hands of China.
Yeah. Now, do you think that it's funny? I have this odd feeling when I first spoke to you. I said, you know, Ari and I probably agree on most everything. I don't know why that's the case. Maybe you disagree. Maybe I'm wrong. But you know, do you feel that there is some sort of change underway? You know, profound, dramatic change. Or am I just kind of talking stupid?
I think there will be a change. Yes, there'll have to be a change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something has to give.
And because, you know, you were a Cold War, right? Pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. The height of the Cold War, you were in there. And, you know, this was all Cold War stuff. You know, the secret, the assassinations, you know, state sponsors, all this stuff is Cold War. Now, the Cold War is is finished. It's gone. It's his history. You know.
Well, so, they worry.
Right.
Well, I hope it's gone.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Well, I mean, the
ideological thing is gone, so this stuff shouldn't happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. So does that make sense, that argument? I mean, you
makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
Because I know the Chinese government sometimes talks about the Cold War mentality, you know, criticizing the United States, et cetera. And I think that's probably justified. Anyway, so international relations. By the way, I see the bloodshed, and everybody does, in Myanmar, you know, on the internet. And now, what do you think is going on in Myanmar? What's your opinion there?
It's funny you ask the question. As you may know, our company is the consultant to the government in Myanmar. And
okay.
I think the media is exaggerating, and I am hoping that that we can reach a deal with the generals. Will reach a deal with the West.
Okay.
In order not to be thrown to the. Exclusively to the Chinese.
Yeah.
In the hands of the Chinese.
Right. Yeah, but the trend is toward the Chinese, of course, right?
Not necessarily.
No,
the generals.
Okay. Yeah.
The generals are not pro-Chinese.
Right, right. Well, they would naturally want to remain independent to some degree. I mean, you know, being taken.
That's right.
Yeah, I actually corresponded with the ambassador of Myanmar about a couple of weeks ago, and he agreed to talk to me pretty soon. Well, actually,
which ambassador?
I think his name is Ong Lin. So he's
where?
Oh, where in Washington? Excuse me.
I see.
Yeah, in Washington.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And so that was good, but he asked me to be patient. He wasn't sure when he would be able to talk to me. So we'll see. I mean, mm-hmm. I hope it's sometime soon. But so you're arguing that, you know, maybe their cool heads will prevail and cooler heads will prevail. And because it's,
mm-hmm.
it's now I noticed that Myanmar is a producer of rare earth metals. And
correct.
Of course, it's not a big producer, but it's number 3 in, out of 10. I put that on Twitter just a couple of yesterday. So there is a resource war of some kind going on almost everywhere in the world, and maybe that's in Myanmar as well.
Well, it's not about that right now.
No,
right
no. Now, yeah, but
right now
yeah.
there has to be some sort of. Recognition that these generals want to be independent, do not want to be thrown in the hands of China,
right?
And they should. There has to be a conversation between them and the West,
right?
Especially the United States.
Well, and I would think that.
And you have to remember, take something into account.
Yeah,
their biggest military ally is Israel.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
huh.
Going back to 1947.
Really?
And yeah,
huh.
So the Israelis could help if they wish to.
I see.
On the subject.
Okay. Well, so again, we always get back to this topic. I mean, I international relations, and I, you know, you didn't study it and get a PhD, nor did I, but it is fascinating, isn't it?
I did get a PhD.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Okay. You got that in Israel or probably in Israel, right?
I have a doctorate in Iranian history.
Wow, that's really good. Cool. Okay. So international relations is so fascinating, and I've always been drawn to it, but you know, since I was a young guy, but I mean, again, what do you think is going on in the world? I know that's a crazy question, but can you put it into a couple of sound bites?
Not really. No.
Not really? Okay.
No.
Because now I'll prompt you. If the Cold War is, you know, pretty much gone, there's something new has to come in of some kind, or does it not?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
We can have a
okay.
prosperous world.
No, Yeah, I'm not suggesting that, I'm not suggesting some big hegemon has to replace the United States. I'm not. I'm just wondering, you know, what is if Palestinians have nobody advocating for them, can they get freedom and independence to some degree? You know, and this is the kind of question I would have. You know, if you're weak, like in Bolivia, you know, finally Bolivia is less weak.
Well, again, you have to have people say it would be in the interest of the Israelis to make a deal with the Palestinians.
It would be.
Because,
Yeah, it would be.
Because
it's so obvious to you and I, but why isn't it happening?
Because the Israelis don't want it to happen.
Okay. And why is
that? You know, the bully in the area wants to stay a bully.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, it's a kind of a good life, you know. You look at yourself in the mirror and you think, God, you're really a hot piece of shit. No, I'm joking around, but, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, now, what about I just, you know, was looking this morning, I guess there's a new superseding indictment of Ghislaine Maxwell. And I wanted to tell you that I was actually good friends with Samuel Pizar in Paris. And I don't know if you ever met him, but he was Robert Maxwell's personal lawyer, which Sam told me back in 1991 or whatever, around the time of Maxwell's death. And so I wanted to ask you, what are you prepared to say about Jeffrey Epstein? You know, the goings on there. I mean, Mr. Trump knew Ghislaine Maxwell. I mean, what the hell is going on? And is Jeffrey Epstein, was he murdered or did he commit suicide? Or maybe it's crazy, but is he possibly?
Well, Jeffrey Epstein died in jail.
Okay.
And we'll put it under strange circumstances. Some people obviously didn't want him alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Miss Maxwell really has, I don't see that she has a chance in hell to get out of there. Maybe I'm wrong, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's not useful to anybody anymore.
Right.
She's not useful to the Israelis. She's not useful to thing.
But she knows it. She knows a lot. Sorry to interrupt, but she knows a lot, obviously.
Yeah, but so what?
Yeah, okay.
Once she's locked up. You know, two people are playing poker. One says, I have four aces. What do you have? The other says, I have a gun. You know.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, but
what's it gonna do for her?
I think I saw you quoted in the media, I don't know where it was, that you were saying, well, this Epstein thing was a Israeli military intelligence deal. And so
Maxwell was part of the Israeli, worked with the Israeli military intelligence. And what's his name? Jeffrey Epstein was very close to Ehud Barak,
right,
who was director of military.
I see. Okay. And now so Epstein was not really just interested in sex, but this was a business operation. He was blackmailing.
Of course.
But of course, Mrs. Maxwell's in prison because of some sex stuff, you know. I mean, there's no discussion of blackmail. I mean, that's what I want to ask you.
Oh, no, what they're accusing her of is true.
Oh, yeah.
She was trafficking with young girls for Epstein and his friends. As I say, sleeping with women or having sex with women isn't a crime. If you're caught, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But if you have sex with underage kids, that's a crime.
Yeah. But they were accused of trafficking in women, right?
And they were sort of trying to trap people.
Yeah, trap them. Okay. But my point is, you know, and I don't know how much you want to talk about this. It's pretty embarrassing to everybody, but this was an Israeli intelligence maneuver, you know, to gain access to control prominent Americans. And we know the list is long, right? right?
The list is long, and why Jeffrey Epstein became prominent in Israeli intelligence was when Bill Clinton was elected president.
Okay.
The Israelis were fearful that they got another Carter on their hands, and they did not know how to bring him under control.
I see.
That was
okay.
Where Jeffrey Epstein got involved.
Okay. But today, is there any willingness, do you think, in Israel to admit that this, I mean...
No.
Yeah.
They really got mad at me for talking about this.
Right. I figured. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, if you make mistakes, I was talking to my wife and my children the other day, and or somebody, I can't remember now, you get old, you know, and I said, you know, if you make mistakes, okay, you finally figure out that you made a mistake, and you try to overcome it, and you know, what's the expression, move on, or, you know, learn from those mistakes. And do you think we're at this point where, you know, these nation states that did all this Cold War madness, are we now in a position to learn from these mistakes and move on and strike?
We should be moving on, but
yeah.
Some people didn't learn yet.
yeah, I'm afraid so. So now the rise of China is pretty amazing, right? My son just bought some new equipment from China. You know, it's amazing. The cost and the quality is so impressive. And so isn't China on balance an excellent thing? And this brings more balance to the world. And how do you feel about that? You know, again, I go back to international relations.
I believe, you know, the Chinese are not... should be put in their place. I'm not talking militarily. At the U.S., there should be some balance between the U.S. and the Chinese. They shouldn't be allowed to do whatever they want.
Yeah. All right.
But
I don't, you know, I don't think the Chinese really want to be in that position of having to bully anybody around. I don't know.
Well.
I have good relations with the Chinese government. I'm not going to speak bad of them, but I think they're pretty modest. It's just that, you know, they probably think that, you know, this Taiwan, you know, Hong Kong, these people, they should recognize that Taiwan and Hong Kong are Chinese. And, you know, I used that word with someone the other day, maybe you know the expression, feeling one's oats. And they didn't know the expression. And do you know it? It's when the horse has a lot of oats in the belly, and the horse says, "Holy shit, I feel great." They're jumping around, and, you know, they're pretty frisky. So the Chinese, in my opinion, anyway, I'll shut up here, but, you know, we see a lot of good things happening. Like the Pope Francis wrote a note to Julian Assange in prison. You know, that's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so I'm thinking I get Ari on the line and get confirmation that good things are indeed happening.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope good things happen. Anyway.
Well, all right. I'll let you go. Yeah.
Thanks for everything. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.